You're listening to Let's Get Metaphysical. This podcast explores the spiritual and metaphysical world through the experiences and opinions of the host and those interviewed. It should not necessarily be seen as direct endorsement or personal advice to our listeners. We encourage you to use your own discernment, judgment, and intuition regarding anything you learn of through this show.
Let's get metaphysical.
Welcome, 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 metaphysicians. It is the beginning of season 3 of Let's Get Metaphysical's podcast. I'm your host, Renata Maniacci, and I am so thrilled that we are starting our third season. You know, seasons on this podcast are kind of arbitrary, but they're a time marker, you know? So we have done 2 seasons with 12 episodes each. We've done 24. Welcome to episode 25, the first episode in season 3. I am really excited to be talking about our topic today, which is crystals, stones, and healing rocks. I want to thank one of my patrons for actually reminding me that I've wanted to do an episode on crystals and rocks since the beginning. And I've kept pushing it back. And thank you to that patron, Michelle, for asking for an episode on this topic. You have reminded me that I've been wanting to do this one for a while. So thank you. To help me with this conversation today, I've invited my friend, Dr. Connie Hambrock of Hambrock Holistic Healing Center in Herndon, Virginia. I am thrilled to have Connie. She is a dear friend. She means a lot to me. She provided a practice group, a healing touch practice group, all 5-6 years ago when I started getting into energy healing and healing touch and spirituality. And things happened in this practice group when we all got together to work on each other that were just mind-blowing to me at the time. And I forever be grateful to her for providing that space right as I was starting in all of this to see what was possible. People were channeling archangels and there was spiritual surgery happening and people were seeing people's faces change right in front of us. It was beautiful. It was a really beautiful, sacred space, and I'm grateful to Connie for being able to hold that space. A little bit about Connie. Connie first became interested in alternative medicine back in 1977 while in Pensacola's registered nursing program. Her mother was diagnosed with a fast-growing lymphoma that doctors said would kill her within 3 months. Together with her mother, they tried many treatments, both traditional and alternative, and through their efforts, they created a protocol that was able to extend her quality of life for 8 further years. Then later, in 1993, Connie was introduced to healing touch when a neighbor used it to help her broken toe. The toe healed in 2 weeks instead of 6 weeks, and she has been a convert to the use of energy medicine, energy work for healing ever since then. Connie has a PhD. She has certifications in well over 100 different alternative healing modalities. I will not name all of them. She is completely knowledgeable on the topic of crystals and stones and rocks, and you'll see why in a minute when she tells about her first experience with them. And I am super grateful that she is joining us here today on this episode. Enjoy. Greetings, metaphysicians. Hello, we are here today with Connie Hambrock of Hambrock Holistic Healing Center. Connie, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Raina, for having me. I appreciate it.
Yes, of course. Oh, I'm so excited to talk to you on this topic. Today we're talking about crystals and stones and how they can be used in health and healing. But first, Connie, I would love to hear, do you have a metaphysical or spiritual experience that you would like to share with our audience today?
The first time that I was really exposed to stones was in Oklahoma. And I was standing in a pond, and I'm originally from Florida. And in Florida, there aren't a lot of stones. It's mostly just sand. And so I was very surprised to see these multiple colored round things that were vibrating. And I felt like they were talking to me. So I asked my mother, what are they? Because to me, they were more like animals because I'd never seen anything like that before. And my mother said, they're pebbles. Because I said, you know, they're like all round and kind of uniform. And so they were multiple colors. Well, now I know that they were primarily different jaspers and some calcite. But at the time, I didn't realize that I was only 18 months old.
Right.
And my mother always talked to us like we were adults. So I didn't think about the fact that I was a little kid. Like a lot of people would think, you know, you're like a baby. So I collected up several, and they were my friends, and they were kind of like my secret pals. You know, a lot of kids have invisible friends. Well, mine weren't exactly invisible, but, and I grew up with a family that was very open to whatever. So I guess that's like my first metaphysical experience. It was really my first experience with rocks at all.
Wow. That's so cool. So when you say that they were your friends, did you talk with them? Did you play with them? How did that
work? I did. I talked to them. They talked to me. I played with them. You know, sometimes I would hear them calling me, and I'd tell my mom, and she was like, well, what are they saying? And, you know, what do you need to do if they're calling to you and things like that? So, you know, I'd put them outside. I'd, you know, wash them, things like that. So
this is fascinating. This is a perfect metaphysical story for this particular episode. This is great. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, I loved stones my whole life too. I can't say that I ever heard them speaking to me or talking to me, but I know that I was enamored by them. And even just recently, I was home at my childhood home, and my dad pulled out this jar of stones that he found from somewhere. And I'm thinking it was mine, you know, and I couldn't even remember exactly if that was it, but just, yeah, they've come in and out. They've come in and out. So Connie, for our audience, for people who might be new to, you know, crystals, to stones, do you categorize a difference between crystals and stones, or those that you do use for healing work or don't use for healing work? Can you tell us a little bit about the differentiation between them?
Well, different stones, minerals, and crystals do different things. I wouldn't say that I categorize them differently as far as what I use, because I use them all, but different ones are better for different things. Like if you're using a quartz, and that includes like one of the Herkimer crystals and one of the Herkimer diamonds, or if you're using like an amethyst or something like that, that's all in the quartz family. And they are very much for breaking things up and for clearing things out. The minerals more are for stabilizing you and that sort of thing. So in a way, yes, I separate them as far as categories what I use, but all of them are stones to me. All of them are rocks to me. So to me, they're all the same thing. They all get used.
Sure.
Just for different things.
So how did you come to know what each of the different stones were good for?
Well, at first, it was more that they would call to me. And that still happens sometimes now, but I think I've learned enough about the different stones that sort of supersedes. So I would have someone on the table, and this still happens periodically, and because I do massage and I do energy work, I would have a particular stone say, you know, like, hey, use me, you know, or they would light up, you know, so different stones would light up in my peripheral vision, like, oh, I've got to use that on this person. And I had bought Herkimer diamonds, and I didn't know why other than I liked them. And there was a person who came in that I was doing lymphatic drainage on, and she was a Lyme disease person. And all the Herkimer diamonds were just like, hey, you know, use us. I put them on the woman, and as I was putting them on, they were like, no, you have to put us along the meridians. So that's what I did. And her swelling went down almost immediately, and she had to get off the table early to go to the bathroom. And she just peed and peed and peed. And when she got home, she said she'd lost 10 pounds.
Wow.
Things like that are what really make me a believer in the power of crystals. But there's books out there, you know, like there's the Crystal Bible. Yeah, there's lots and lots of books out there now that tell you about all different dimensions of the different stones and what they do and how they can support you. And that's another reason for making jewelry out of the different stones, so that you don't have to be laying down with them or have your pockets full. You can actually be wearing the stones around your neck. You can have them underneath your shirt. You can have them, you know, anywhere. I know a lot of people that put stones in their bras.
Yep, I do too.
It makes it really funny when they go to the airport, though, because they bend down to take their shoes off and all these stones land on the floor.
That's a great image.
Yeah, no. It's really fun, you know, when you see people do that and you're like, yes, I know you're going to the same conference I am. Or
right. Exactly. I really enjoy how you said you listen, you know, they pop out at you sometimes. And if you're open enough to hearing where they want to go, you know where to put them on the body. It can be just as simple as that, as having, you know, stones in your healing room or in your home, in your space, and being open enough to hear what they have to say and where they want to go.
Yeah. Of course, what's fun for me is I have a lot of jewelry that's up on a wall. And when I'm going to a conference, I'll say, who wants to come along? And they will quite actually jump off the wall. Now, granted, they often fall off the wall anyway because they're just put on there with pins. But to me, it's always hilarious because I'll put like a blanket down and I'll say, okay, who wants to come along? And I'll have like 10 or 12 that just jump off the wall. I'm like, okay.
I love that.
I put the blanket down so that they don't get broken when they jump off the wall.
I'm sure they appreciate that.
Well, some have, you know, kind of broken. So I'm like, I don't want to have to put it back together.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's probably a whole other operation. Surgery. When I was learning about stones, I am nowhere near an expert like you are, but I kind of started conceptualizing them a little bit like plants, like where plants grow out of the earth and they carry certain vibrations, and we use several plants for healing, you know, the
absolutely
of our medicines. It wasn't so far of a leap for me when I was learning about crystals and stones that these crystals grow out of the earth as well. Mm-hmm. And they also carry specific vibrations to help you with specific things, you know, in a similar way to plants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree with that. As a matter of fact, one of my popular workshops is using essential oils with crystals.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's a really fun workshop and you can try it. So what we do is first I send around a basket full of a particular stone, say it's a rose quartz, and I have each person pick a stone out of the basket and hold it and meditate with it and see what the stone says to them or the vibration that they feel, or does it feel light or does it feel heavy, just wherever they are in feeling, you know, what's going on with that stone.
Mm-hmm.
Have them put the stone down, and then I take an essential oil. There's lots of different essential oils that go with lots of different stones.
Mm-hmm.
One of the good ones with rose quartz is rose, and I each person smell the smell of the essential oil and then see what it brings to their mind, what they feel about it, because everybody has a different feeling about every oil.
Right.
Then I have them take the oil and the stone and put them together and hold the stone while they're smelling the oil and see how different things are. So sometimes it makes the stone feel heavier. Sometimes it makes the smell stronger or weaker. And every person's experience is completely different. So it's a lot of fun.
Wow.
Here's what happens with them. And then if they decide that they like that particular stone, then they may choose to buy it, or they may choose to look in their own, you know, stone collection and see if that's something that would support them. So it's great. It's a lot of fun.
It sounds like a lot of fun. So when you use the essential oils with the stones, do the essential mm-hmm. oils get used on the stones or on the person? Or
on the person.
On the person? Okay.
Yeah. And it can be any different direction, because I use doTERRA, which is a really, really fine oil, because they do 48 different tests on it to make sure that it doesn't have any adulteration or anything else like that in it. So most of those can be consumed internally. And so it just depends on the person. They can either smell it, they can put it on their skin, or they can take it internally.
Or would this be for like a healing session?
It could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. It could be, or it could just be that they feel like they need support in a particular direction, and that stone helps them with that. So they can take the oil and do, you know, like I say, either smell it or put it on themselves or taste it, and then carry that stone around with them. Or if there's a particular kind of jewelry, like with rose quartz, a lot of times you'll find hearts that are made out of it that can wear as a pendant. So if you're feeling like you need a little extra love, or you want a little extra passion in your life, you can put that pendant, you can put it right over your heart, or wear it in your bra, or, you know, put it in your pocket, whatever you want to do, just however it feels like you want to have support.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So Connie, what would you say the jump was, or what was the path from being 18-month-old Connie and and having stone friends? When did you start, you know, consciously working with these healing crystals and healing stones for yourself, for your own like kind of health and with other folks?
Well, I think it was probably in like 1993 when I was learning healing touch. And so I had my table set up in my formal living room, which had a bunch of stones in it because I've always collected stones. And having the stones say, hey, me too, you know, like I need to be on the table too.
Right, right.
So, but it started out kind of slowly, you know, because at first it was just like one or two. And then later on they're like, no, you know, like, you need to pile the stones on.
Right.
I started doing crystal healing and then found out what that actually meant.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, that's the way a lot of my stuff has come about, is that first is the intuition, you need to do this, and then try and find out what other people are doing and, you know, if there's a certification or if there's a book or whatever. So,
yeah. Do you find that there are specific situations or specific ailments, perhaps, that you find that more stones say, hey, use me in? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so. Well, once upon a time, I would use a lot of stones on people, you know, like several small stones on each chakra. But nowadays, it's more the flavor of the chakra. So either the person is trying to get rid of negativity or whatever's going on for them. And so then it's become more like five stones, but they're larger.
Mm-hmm.
So like fluorite for me is like my favorite. I wouldn't say it's necessarily my favorite stone, but it's definitely my go-to. If a person comes in and they have a lot of negativity or they have a lot of sickness, then I will ask them if it's okay if I put some stones on them. And if they're like weirded out about it, then I put them underneath the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just as effective whether it's touching them or if it's just near them. So I have some really large fluorite pieces that I put on the floor in front of their head and, you know, on the floor below their feet, and then just go with the other things that are going on. Like if they're having a problem with their heart, then I've got a really good size piece of prionite that I put on them. So it's things like that. But it used to be that I would put a myriad of stones. I mean, like maybe 50 stones on somebody. Nobody complained and said it was too heavy or anything like that. But, you know, I guess over time, I just got a little more refined about it.
Right. Yeah.
To your question.
Yeah, no, it's making me think. So for example, one of the things I'm thinking about right now, I want to ask is, I hear that you listen to the stones and they'll say, choose me. And so my question that I'm thinking about right now is, for fluorite, for example, one of your favorite stones, did you know what the, you know, quote unquote, like written and known benefits of fluorite were?
Not originally.
What was that?
Not originally.
Okay. Have you found a connection between the stones that naturally jumped out at you and then later reading about them, what other folks had written in books, you know, this is good for this, fluorite is good for this, prionite is good for this. Have you found overlap through your time?
Absolutely.
That's really, really neat.
I think the people that have written the books are also intuitive and empathic. And so the things that I've found without even realizing that there were books that were written about it are usually right on with what they've said about it. And it's almost like some of them, it's verbatim, you know, like, oh yeah, she's got this wrong with her, but she's not saying it and she needs this. And then I'll look it up and it'll say, you know, often used for hidden meaning of, you know, whatever, relationship issues or something. And then I'll go, that's why it jumped out.
Yeah, I remember I've been drawn to stones. And that's another thing I wanted to mention for mm-hmm. folks listening. If they're new to this world of crystals and stones, maybe they've been in a stone shop or maybe they haven't. But, you know, one of the ways that I kind of got into it is by being in a place that was selling crystals and then just like seeing what jumped out at me and seeing what I was attracted to mm-hmm. in terms of what to start with. And often if you look them up and read what they're good for, you know, it'll be something that you need to work on that or something that you need help with. And it's amazing. It happens every time you're attracted yep. to, you know, pyrite. And then you look up the benefits of pyrite and what it helps you with. And you're like, oh my gosh, like this is something that I need help with. I really need help connecting to my masculine energy, you know?
Right.
Like that's just fascinating in general. What I was going to bring forward is that, you know, when I was getting into this, I was so curious to see how did people know. I mean, these books are so detailed, as you know. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll be like, this particular stone is really good at opening your third eye and connecting to the astral dimensions, you know. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. You know, I was like, how do people know this stuff? And it seems as though, you know, what you're saying is that people who are intuitive can sit with them and a stone will tell them what they're good at. And then it's just using it over and over in that way and having similar people with similar maybe health issues or concerns, you know, and having those stones, those same stones be drawn to those same ailments or issues or.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always fun to, you know, people, I have different sales and stuff and I have actually like 2 tons of rocks that are in storage places in this office. Take them out for the sale, you know, and then I put them back because I just don't have the room to display them. And people will go, well, what's a good stone for this or a good stone for that? And I'm like, just feel it, you know, just walk around and see what you're attracted to first. And then we'll see if it's something that you need support with. You know, and people are like, no, I just want to know, like, tell me something that's good for cancer. And I'm like, okay, well, there's unakite and then there's malachite. And, you know, and they're like, well, where are those stones? You know, and to me, it works better if you just say, what attracts you? Because what attracts you is probably what you need more than what you're looking for.
Right, exactly. And they do, like in the back of these stone books, I've noticed now, you can actually, you know, for people who do just want to go in and be like, okay, I have digestive issues.
Right. You know,
in the back of some of these books, they actually have keys, and you can look up digestive issues, and then it will list the stones that are good for digestive issues. And you can look them up, you know, they'll have the page numbers, and you can go read more about them and find that out. And I have to admit, I've been that person before. I've definitely been that person. Like, I have mind fog. What helps with clarity? You know, and actually for me, fluorite does help a lot with mental clarity.
Yeah.
but I like what you said though, because it really, like, when I got into this, man, I'm sure you can share this experience as well. Like, well, I feel like maybe you're still like this a lot. I am too, but like getting so excited and wanting like all the stones. Like I remember the first couple years I got into like healing touch and met you. And I really wanted to go to the Gem and Rock show in Tucson. And I wanted to have every kind of, you know, of stone. And now I'm a bit more, I can walk into a rock shop and walk out with like still having most of the money in my wallet.
I have a problem with that.
I still
have a big problem.
But you know, what I'm getting at is that now when I walk in, I'm typically in a place where instead of checking for what I need, like, oh, what stone is good for X, Y, or Z, I like to just walk around and see if something jumps out at me. And usually if something is jumping out at me and there's a reason for it, and I can then look it up, you know, if I don't know this, oh, let me look this up in this book. And then inevitably, you know, the things that it's good for, there's something specific that I wouldn't have even been able to name, you know, like I wouldn't have been able to say, like, I need help connecting deeper into my own core essence or whatever. But this particular stone is exactly what that's what that stone does. And that's what
right. Yeah. So
love that. I love it.
And I love going someplace like Sedona or Tucson or something like that and seeing stones that I am not familiar with. I've never seen them before. I don't know what they are. I don't know what their names are.
Right.
And to just go, oh, that is so cool. What does it do? You know?
Yeah, for sure.
Right there with you.
Yeah. Well, and it's so interesting because, you know, stones come out of the earth, like this rock that we all live on. And of course there's going to be new discoveries happening because, you know, it might've taken just until right now for those particular minerals to come together to create this beautiful crystal that nobody's ever seen before and is only located in, you know, Greenland on the, you know, on this one particular, you know, whatever. Like plants, you know, they're still discovering new plants in even jungles that nobody's ever seen before. And we don't know what their uses are yet. And it's fascinating. And it's encouraging to me too, because, you know, one thing that we don't talk about so much is over mining, you know, and depleting these mines of amethysts, you know, or quartz or whatever. Quartz is pretty abundant, but...
Well, malachite right now isn't being mined anymore because when you put heat to malachite, then it lets off a poison. So they've stopped mining most of it. So it's become rarer, and so it's, you know, more expensive, etc. And then they have people that are now lab creating it. I'm not into lab created stones.
Yeah, tell me about that, Connie. That's a really interesting comment you bring up, you know, for especially for folks who are new to stones. There are stones that are being created or recreated in lab situations. And can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, your thoughts about that and why your thoughts are the way they are?
Well, some of them are fake. I mean, they're being created somewhere, but they're, you know, plastic or glass or something like that. And then other stones, they're using the same chemicals to make them, but they're being made in a lab.
Right.
And the ones that are being made in a lab that have the same chemical compound, according to my husband, who's a geological engineer, should be basically the same, only the structural foundation is different. In other words, it doesn't have a matrix that it's grown on and that kind of thing.
Okay.
But if you hold one and you hold the other, you know, you hold one that's come from the earth in one hand and one that's chemically based from the lab, there's a big difference for me anyway.
Yeah. I mean, somebody who, you know, communicates with stones and has ever since she was a child. So you notice a difference. Do the ones made in a lab, can they hear them? Do they talk to you or do they?
Pretty much they're pretty dead to me. I think the amount of energy and years that it takes to form a rock versus the amount of energy and pressure, which is usually what it is that they do, you know, in a lab, makes a big difference. I think the metaphysical fields that are put into a stone to manufacture it in the earth is what makes it have its personality and its vibrational field. And I have no idea if this is true or not, but it's true for me. And usually I can tell if it's lab created or not just either by looking at it because it's way too perfect or by holding it. So having said that, there are negative things that are associated with some stones. Like if you have an opal, the whole background is that unless you have a birthday in October, you shouldn't own an opal because then it's bad luck. And I don't know where that old wives' tale came from. Mm-hmm. But if you have a chemically created, lab-created opal, and it's just as beautiful as a real opal, then you can possess an opal without any of the bad luck. You know, it just depends on how you want to look at it.
Yeah. Well, I tend to feel the way that you do about the lab-created stones, and I feel, you know, I tend to feel that way about the manufactured, lab-created things that we put in our body that are medicines, you know?
So, exactly.
I feel more drawn to the things that are actually being created by the earth itself. You know, that feels good to me. But of course, you know, everyone will have their own feelings about that, and that's good.
Of course. Well, and let me say just a little bit about herbs, because that is what my PhD is in.
Please.
Is the fact that when you have an herbal combination or you have an herb that you're taking for something, when that herb was created by the major creator who created all things, you have safeguards. So if you were to take white willow bark, it is not going to upset your stomach. But if you take aspirin, which is synthetic, that was originally taken from the compound of white willow bark, it will often do bad things to your stomach lining. And the reason why is because they have taken out all the safeguards.
Wow.
So you need to look at the herbs that you're taking and why, because they were created not to hurt your system. And they weren't created for financial gain for anybody.
Right. Thank you. I mean, I think
way about the stones.
No, it's a really important point, though. I mean, it's a reminder. And I think this is where consciousness is going, in my personal view, right?
I agree.
I think we're going back, you know, we're understanding, we're looking around and seeing all these, you know, pharmaceutical, you know, messages and commercials online. And it's almost laughable now. Every time I look at one, I think that I'm watching an SNL commercial,
right?
It's all the things that can kill you, you know,
yeah.
About this pill and this like less than, it feels like less than 1% chance that it's actually going to help you with what you want it to. But you know, what you say about that is very true. Like we have to be reminded that all of these synthetic medicines and pharmaceuticals were at one point based on something that actually came out of the earth. And you know, the earth's not trying to make money off of it.
Right.
So I'm really grateful to you for bringing that up. I think it's a really important point. So Connie, is there anything else coming to mind that you feel is important to share with our listeners about crystals, healing stones, or any other stories maybe that you want to share coming to mind about ways that you've seen them be useful in a session or for an individual or a group? And if not, that's okay. Just thought I would ask.
I think there are warnings about everything. So some stones, just like some herbs, can be harmful. Not to lay on your body, but to try to consume. And I think there are a lot of people out there that are trying to make jewel water and things like that. And there are different stones that if you imbibe them or water from them, it can hurt you. It can even kill you. So you need to really take a look at what it is that you're doing and is it safe? Now, most stones are fine, but you also have to take a look at how you charge them, because some stones, if you wash them, expose them to water, they will fall apart. And some stones, like if you have lithium and you put that in water and you drink that, it can kill you. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's different things. You just have to be, I wouldn't say be smart, but maybe be educated about some of the things that you do with stones, just like you do with herbs. It's just like you would never eat foxglove, because although the herbs that are taken from different plants are just fine, there are some that are not. And, you know, if you eat foxglove, it'll kill you. So, you know, you just have to be aware.
I think that's really important.
My biggest warning.
Yeah. Well, actually, just a further question about that, just for folks who might be new to this. Can you just tell us what you mean by, some folks might not understand what you mean by drinking crystals or elixirs with crystals. Can you just say what that is?
Sure. So there are a couple of different ways to make jewel water or elixirs or whatever. And one of the safest ways is there are bottles that are created that have an opening in the bottom of it, and they have like a bubble that goes up inside the water bottle, and you put whatever crystals you want to get the effects of, and then you put a cork in the bottom of it to keep it, and then you fill up the bottle from the top with water, and then you get the energy of the different crystals without getting any of the possible toxins from it.
Sure.
But there are other people that have written books that have said, oh yeah, put all these different quartzes and stuff in water and then drink it. And the problem with that is that your intestines were never made to digest stones. Okay. And some of the quartz crystals or selenite or something like that falls apart in the water, and you may not even see it, but it can actually go in and rupture your intestines. So you just want to be careful with some of the different things like that. I mean, I'd say it was common sense, but what's common to me may not be common to others.
Exactly.
You know, like I say, just be careful with what you're doing. You know, quartz crystals are fabulous. They're wonderful to look at. They're wonderful to hold. They're wonderful to use on your body and to wear and things like that. But it's not safe to put it in water and then decide to drink it.
Right. I'm really glad that you brought that up, because I wouldn't have thought to even mention that. Thank you so much.
Sure. I've just seen it in some books recently, and it was disturbing to me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially with your background and your knowledge on the topic. Yeah. Okay. Well, Connie, I would like to ask you, how can folks find out more about you and more about what you're doing? And I know that you teach some classes and of course you see clients. Can you tell us a little bit about your practice so that our listeners have an idea about what you do if they want to reach out for more information?
Well, I am working on a website for crystals, etc., but I don't have it up and running yet. But if they want more information, they can go to www.hambrockholistichealing.net, and that will tell them. And if they go to therapies, they can take a look at the various ones. What happened with me was, originally I was in nursing a long time ago, and I broke my toe while I was doing interior design. And Maureen McCracken, who was teaching healing touch and did healing touch on my foot, was able to get the bone to heal in just a remarkable amount of time. Mm. So then I started taking classes from her, and everything else sort of fell in place because of that. So I went into massage because at the time you couldn't touch people in the state of Virginia, even if they had clothing. Right. And so you needed to have a license. So I became a massage therapist because of that. And then people that were on my table were going into past life regressions, which I didn't know what that was. And so then I went into doing hypnotherapy because past life regressions fall under that headline.
Wow.
And then while I was doing that, I also learned about craniosacral, which helped my son with his learning disabilities. So all of everything has spun off of the different experiences that I've had. So people would be on the table while I was doing healing touch, and I would touch them, and they would say, is that deep tissue? Is that trigger point? Is that whatever? And I didn't know, so I would go to school and find out. So at one point, I was certified in 300 different things.
Wow.
And just because I just kept going. And then I let a lot of those certifications go because it just got really, really expensive to keep them all.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's incredible. I didn't know that your journey kind of began with Maureen McCracken, who I love really.
That's great. Yeah, it really did. With her working with my toe, it really changed my life because, you know, once I felt the differences with healing touch and being able to help people, I couldn't go back. I had to keep going and going and going. So
I totally know what you mean. Get it. Well, Connie, I think that's a good place to stop for the interview for today. So I just want to, again, thank you so much for joining me and making the time there in Virginia while I'm here in Costa Rica.
Yeah, I think it's so great that you're able to do that. I mean, technology has become a wonderful thing.
That's so good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us and listening in on this episode on crystals, stones, and healing rocks. I loved it. I love crystals. I love stones. I have for a really long time, and this episode has been a long time coming. Thank you so much to my friend Connie Hambrock for joining us on this episode. And as bonus content for this episode, for those of you who are our patrons on Patreon, Connie has given us this beautiful meditation that you can use, you can listen to and use to connect with a stone or stones. If you are interested in starting to learn how to communicate with stones and hear what they have to say and work with them for yourself and for others. So please, if you're interested, check that bonus content out on Patreon. If you are not one of our patrons currently, check us out at www.patreon.com/letsgetmeta. For as little as $2 a month, you will help keep this podcast going and get awesome bonus content like this one-of-a-kind meditation from Dr. Connie Hambrock. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening, and have an excellent week. Stay meta.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Let's Get Metaphysical is entirely listener-supported. If you like what we're doing, please consider becoming a patron of the podcast at patreon.com/letsgetmeta. Our intention is to raise the vibration of the planet by sharing, validating, and normalizing spiritual and metaphysical experiences. If you haven't pledged yet, we'd really appreciate your support. It helps keep this show going. Let's Get Metaphysical is a production of the Hana Healing Arts Network. The show's host is Renata Maniachi. The music for this podcast was composed by Rob Trefort of GoldenTurtleSound.org. Thank you for listening. Stay meta.
Metaphysical. Let's get meta. Metaphysical. Let's get meta. Metaphysical.